Today, my dear faithful, is the Sunday within the octave of the Sacred Heart. And the epistle is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter, chapter 5. Dearly beloved, be you humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation, casting all your care upon him, for he hath care of you. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist ye strong in faith, knowing that the same affliction befalls your brethren who are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a little, will himself perfect you and confirm you and establish you. To him be glory and empire forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 15. At that time, the publicans and sinners drew nigh unto Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spoke to them this parable, saying, What man of you that hath 100 sheep, and if he shall lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the desert, and go after it that which was lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, lay it upon his shoulders, rejoicing, and coming home, called together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost. I say to you that even so there shall be joy in heaven upon one sinner that doth penance, more than upon 99 just who need not penance. Or what woman, having 10 groats, if she lose one groat, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently until she find it? And when she hath found it, call together friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, because I have found the groat which I had lost. So I say to you, there shall be joy before the angels of God upon one sinner doing penance. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. Words taken from the epistle of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the English language, my dear faithful, the oldest surviving epic poem is the story of Beowulf. An epic is a lengthy narrative of a hero's adventures, and this particular poem centers around Northern Europe, especially Scandinavia, around the 8th century. Beowulf is the name of the story's hero, but the poem does not actually begin with the hero. It starts instead by recounting the beginning of a kingdom, and how eventually a man named Hrothgar succeeded as king. As king, Hrothgar lived with justice and valor. In his old age, with his kingdom now firmly established, he looked forward to the enjoyment of long-sought peace. To celebrate this peace, King Hrothgar held a great celebration with his nobles. When night drew on after the day of feasting, all the nobles slept in the great hall of their king, as was the custom at that time. They set themselves down for the night, looking forward to a contented sleep. But it was not to be so. The peace of the hall, in fact, the peace of Hrothgar's entire kingdom, was shattered that night. For a giant monster crept into the king's hall. This monster, despite its massive bulk, stealthily entered, so as not to disturb the sleeping men. The poem describes this monster as the demon Grimm, a joyless creature, a wicked fiend, whose name was Grendel. The king and his nobles had spent the day in feasting, and now Grendel would feast as well. That night, Grendel killed and carried off 30 warriors to his den, all without waking a single soul. The next morning, all the guests in the hall woke from their peaceful dreams to a nightmarish reality. 30 warriors killed in one night, and Grendel's ravages did not end there. For the next 12 years, Grendel roamed the kingdom. The warriors gathered to fight this man-eating monstrosity, but they found that their blades could not pierce Grendel's hard skin. More and more the warriors fell over the years, until few were left even to challenge Grendel. News of this nightmare passed to other lands, until finally Beowulf heard of it. Beowulf was a mighty warrior in a distant kingdom, a man of great valor and incredible strength. Even though this mighty warrior heard of Grendel's enormous size and tough skin that no weapon could pierce, Beowulf still set out immediately to fight this monster. And the hero meant to fight it without weapon, shield, or help from anyone else. Beowulf arrived with some of his warriors, and he spent the night in the king's hall waiting for the monster to arrive. As the darkness settled in, Grendel slinked into the king's hall. He managed to kill one of Beowulf's own men, and then he attacked Beowulf himself. It was then that Grendel felt the strength of Beowulf's grip, a power that he found outstripped the monster's own. Long they battled until Beowulf dealt Grendel a mortal wound. Finally, after 12 years, the nightmare was ended, and the victorious hero was loaded with gifts and honors. After a time, he returned to his homeland, renowned for his daring and his valor. He was so loved and honored that, eventually, Beowulf himself was made king in his own homeland. Beowulf, my dear faithful, was a hero, willing to take such risks to save others, just as our Lord so heroically suffered in order to save us from the enemy of our souls, the devil. The devil, as the epistle of today's Mass says, as a roaring lion, goeth about seeking whom he may devour. The idea of a roaring lion gives an image of his fierceness. But in fact, like the monster Grendel, the devil more often whispers rather than roars. He slinks into the midst of men in order to spiritually devour their souls by leading them to commit sin. It is true, my dear faithful, left to ourselves, we are defenseless against the devil, just as King Hrothgar's men were against Grendel. In saving these men from the monster who devoured them, Beowulf was courageous and noble. But our Lord, in saving us from the devil, is infinitely noble and courageous. He is the divine Savior, the true hero, who came to deliver us from this enemy, the devil, a monster far worse, far more dangerous than the man-eating Grendel. See in this the great love of our divine Savior. For in dealing death to the devil, our Lord took death upon himself and suffered unimaginable torments. Christ did not destroy the devil in a fierce battle, but he died the humiliating death of the cross to atone for our sins, to win grace for us, to strengthen us in our own battles against this fiend. But worse than the scourging, the crowning with thorns, the crucifixion, our Lord's greatest suffering was that he took the weight of sin upon himself. We especially see how much this pained our Lord and the agony in the garden. For on that first Holy Thursday night, Jesus Christ had to bear what was sorrow to him unutterable, the weight of our sins. On that night, the God-man was brought to his knees and fell prostrate on the ground. Our sins is what made him sweat blood and cry out in an agony, "My Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me." And yet, what is this same guilt to do the average man? What impression does sin make upon him? So many commit even mortal sin today and think nothing of it. Mortal sin is just a common occurrence, a normal part of everyday life. Impurity and immodesty are everywhere. Abortion and divorce are the new standard. Unnatural vice is now not only accepted as normal, but to many, it is even fashionable. The devil truly runs rampant in our country, devouring souls by leading so many to commit such atrocious sins. And yet, the evil of a single mortal sin, it is simply beyond comparison. Imagine if the earth quaked, oceans boiled, volcanoes erupted, the sun went out, and the moon and stars no longer gave their light. Imagine all that happened at once around you. How terrified you would be. But it would be as nothing compared to the evil of one mortal sin. That gives a faint idea of what an unfathomable disaster a single mortal sin is. And yet our Lord, in his agony in the garden, took all sins upon himself, every single mortal sin that was, that is, and would be. He, the God-man, was crushed to the ground under this weight. His most sacred heart was pressed with this immeasurable burden, the burden of sorrow that his own creatures should reject him and his laws, that they would reject his love and accept the devil instead, to only to be devoured by this monstrous fiend. But the sin that caused our Lord the greatest pain, what made his agony such an agony above all others, was the ingratitude and indifference of men to him and his loving sacrifice for them. Mankind, even his own Catholics, would not appreciate him. They would ignore all that he did and live their lives indifferent to him. Our Savior gladly suffered and died on the cross to save mankind, because of his infinite love. But to know that so few would love him in return, that pierced his most sacred heart with unutterable sorrow. Our Lord did so much for them, but in return, what does he receive? Does he have honor and glory for men as the hero Beowulf did? Do men accept our Lord as their King for being their Savior? No, so often no. Our Lord, the true divine hero, who saved us from eternal death, meets only indifference. He is the King of Kings, yet so few submit themselves to him. Let us then, my dear faithful, make a return to our Lord. Let us show our Lord that he is our King, the King of our hearts, our lives, and our homes. Love and appreciate our divine Savior, who has done so much to save us, but who is so little loved in return. We do this first by living according to his laws. We reject what he rejects, and we hold true to what he has commanded us. We also can do this. We can return this love by enthroning the Sacred Heart in our homes. By the enthronement of the Sacred Heart in the home, a family has a formal ceremony with a priest presiding and sets a picture of the Sacred Heart in a place of honor. They do this to show that our Lord is truly the King of that home, that by this picture, he sits upon a throne and reigns in there. If you enthrone your home, my dear faithful, you will win such grace for you, for your family, and for our sin-filled worlds. You will take your place with the angel of the agony who came to comfort our divine Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane. The angel of the agony comforted our Lord by reminding him of all those who would love him. Let you and your family be amongst that number. Let the Sacred Heart reign in your home so that our Lord will look upon you and find that you at least comforting him. If you have already enthroned the Sacred Heart in your home, renew your consecration to him by reciting the prayer of consecration and by, above all, living that act. Be a comfort to our Lord's Sacred Heart, for he suffers so much at the sight of our modern world, at the sight of so many men who allow the devil to wreak havoc in their hearts. Make a return of love, my dear faithful. Live your lives following the King of Kings. Make his law the laws of your life, your heart, and your home. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.